Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. Today, we want to continue on our series on Expect the Extraordinary, and this will be part number two. And as we made a habit, we want to have a base scripture, and also I want to introduce my sweetheart. So before we do that, you can get your Bibles and get ready to turn to Mark chapter 9. Verse 23, and then we'll pick up from there. So before we do that, as like I said, my custom, I want to introduce my beautiful, wonderful, amazing, and awesome wife, Miss Norca Karina.
Hello, everyone. May the Lord continue to bless you. We're so blessed that we have another opportunity to share the wonderful and powerful Word of God with you. So let's get ready to continue to be ministered by the Holy Spirit. It is exciting to know that he always does something new and he always has enough to satisfy those that come to him hungry and thirsty. Praise God.
Amen. That's a good point of reference right there. If you come thirsty and you come hungry, Jesus said, those who thirst and hunger after righteousness, what did he say would happen? They would be filled.
That's right. I like the version in Spanish as well. The translation, it says they will be satisfied.
They will be satisfied.
Amen.
They will receive what they're coming, what they're looking for.
And then some.
And then some. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, sweetheart, for that. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Now, this is the backdrop for those who may not have listened to part one or some of our other previous podcasts. Jesus is talking to a man who brought his son to be delivered by a spirit that's causing him to have these fits. Some would call today epileptic seizures. And he says in verse 22, so I'll back up one. And when Jesus asked him in the previous verse to that, he said, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And in verse 22, he says, and often he has thrown him in both in the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Interestingly, Jesus answered. He says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I find it interesting, that the guy says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. But Jesus didn't answer that question. It's a question. It's actually a statement. If you can do anything, basically it's kind of a prompt to a question. Can you help us? If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus didn't say, yeah, I can do it. Or no, I don't know. That's up to God, the Father. No, he said, he turned it around to the man. If you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to whom it believes. Now, we know there's another scripture somewhere where it says that all things are possible with God.
Right.
Matter of fact, he told that, that the angel Gabriel told that to Mary when she asked how would it be possible for her to have a child since she had known no man. Mm-hmm. He said, with God, all things are possible, right? We know when Jesus is saying, if you can believe, all things are possible to whom it believes, He's also saying, because it's possible to God, the question isn't about whether God can do it or not. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even say whether or not if God is willing to do it or not. He doesn't say, as you would hear in a lot of, churches today, and sadly to say, they'd say, well, if it's the Lord's will, and it's up to God. It's the sovereignty of God. And Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say, well, if it's the Father's will, we can have compassion on you. We might do a miracle for you. We'll pray and we'll see what happens. As a matter of fact, find me a scripture. This is a challenge I'll put to anybody. Find me a scripture anywhere in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where Jesus ever prayed to the Father to heal somebody.
probably the closest thing is when he was at Lazarus' tomb and he was thanking God, thanking the Father.
Yeah, he said,
because he always hears him.
He said, "I thank you that you hear me, and you know, and you always hear me."
Right.
Right, but he didn't ask the Father, "Father, please heal Lazarus and let him come out of the tomb, because you know, I need the people to know who I am and believe in me." No, he already came prepared, knowing what God the Father wanted to do, because his thing was he walked in unity with the Spirit of the Father who led him.
Right.
To do what he did.
He only did those things that he saw the Father doing.
Thank you.
So he didn't make up his own walk. He was led by what the Father was already doing.
And exactly what he said in John chapter 5, you know, that he only did the things he sees the Father do. And so he says here, he doesn't answer him in that way that mm-hmm. most people would answer today. Most Christians or churches would answer today, "Well, if it's the Lord's will." No, he said, "If you can believe, he put it on the man. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Now, so what somebody might say, what's this got to do with expect the extraordinary? Well, I mean, there's some key obvious clues right here, but this very scripture is, if you can believe, all things, including the extraordinary, are possible to him who believes. What do we need that's extraordinary? Well, first we would say things we know that's not possible with man. You know, because really when we're talking about God's intervention, we're generally talking about things that we cannot achieve and accomplish in our own ability. You know, we have certain abilities that we can do certain things, and you can see people on, you know, television even. You know, you can see people who are gifted with the ability to create things, computers and architectural structures. It's like mind-blowing, the things that people built. Automotive, you know, look at a vehicle, a jet, all these types of things. But yet, when we're talking about these giftings that are in people, they still have limitations. Even doctors who have the skills oftentimes to be able to remove, you know, blood clots and things out of people's hearts without even having to cut open their chest by running up a little a tube up and through their arteries.
That's right.
You know, high advanced technology today mm-hmm. that they didn't have years ago.
Non-invasive.
Right? You know, and microscopic, you know, laser surgeries and correct. Things of that nature. You know, these yes. things are, you know, mind-blowing to say the least. But yet there's still limitations on what they can do, what mankind can do. You know, they can sometimes, when you say cure cancers, they can, you know, provide treatments, radiation treatments or different things or surgical treatments and things like that to remove the cancer. But sometimes they can't get it all. Or sometimes it comes back and now it's spread to many organs.
Right.
So what do they do then? Well, there is one that we know.
Amen.
Who's the physician of all physicians.
Amen.
The doctor above all doctors.
That's
who
right.
can cure anything and everything.
Hallelujah.
And you know what? He doesn't need a scalpel.
Hmm.
He doesn't need, you know, a hospital room to do it.
Right.
He has the ability because he is the Almighty God, and he came in the person of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And someone says, "Well, you know, that sounds all great, brother, you know, but you never had a case where you needed a miracle like that. So that's easy for you to say because you're just reading stuff from the Bible." Oh, well, let me tell you, I know firsthand of things that God has done in my life and in other people's lives. Miracles.
Amen.
God is a miracle-working God, and I have, from my studies of the scriptures, sweetheart, and maybe you want to jump in here and give some illustrations or some examples yourself of people you know that God has led to receive miracle healing cures or yes. answers to prayers that no other way could come except by the Almighty God. And
Amen.
And I will say this, from what I've learned about God, if there's anything to take away from this podcast, you know, that I've learned about God, is that God loves us so much that he wants He wants to do miracles. Amen. He wants to do extraordinary things in our lives, in every facet of our life, not just with healing miracles, but financial miracles, relationship miracles, any kind of miracle you can think of that you could need in any way. God is wanting to do those things for his children.
Amen.
And just as you said, you know, he loves to bless his children.
That's right. He's a good God. And, you know, this topic is so important. It's so good. And I truly encourage the listeners to have this conversation with the Holy Spirit, because as you mentioned before, many times we're just taught in a different way. And unfortunately, it's not the whole truth. And the good thing about Jesus is that he never hid the truth. Every time he spoke the truth. And so I love the fact that he didn't just say, well, let me see if this is what the Father wants. But as you said, you know, he put it back on the man and said, no, it's if you can believe. And that is the truth. But I do encourage the listeners, just speak to the Holy Spirit. And I can speak for myself and ask the Holy Spirit, can you please bring this revelation into my heart, into my spirit, so that I can truly embrace it. And help me understand, help me believe. But I also can testify, we've witnessed people around us that have been healed. And I think we kind of agree that cancer would be like one of those illnesses that we still don't have that cure for. But as you said, it can be treated. So we have seen healing both ways. One, completely eradicated, where the doctors go in and say, oh wow, there's no trace, we can't, without treatment we can't find it, we know you had it but it's no longer there, because the same God that opened the Red Sea, the same God that had the conversation with this father, is the same God that we are talking about today that can heal and do the same miracles. He has the same power. He has not decreased in power or in will to heal, much less in ability. So we have seen healing where it's no longer there, and also healing through treatment, which also is a miracle that the Lord gives the doctors the wisdom, and he chooses which way he wants to do it. But the Lord, we've seen it both ways. The cancer can no longer be found. It was there and it's no longer there, and there's no trace of it. And also, you have no more cancer after treatment. So God is good, and God will continue to reveal his goodness to us.
And yeah, that's something that maybe needs to be a point of you know, discussion here, is that, you know, briefly anyways, is that we need to always be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit.
That's,
you know,
right.
As much as maybe we want a miracle in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
maybe God is leading in a different way, you know. And you know, some who've had desire to receive a miraculous healing refuse to go to the doctors. Now, there have been some who, because of that stand of faith, God healed them. But there's been some who have died because they didn't take the wisdom of God to go and get the treatment.
Right.
And there are various reasons for that can happen, you know. And as one preacher I heard say years ago, some people won't go to doctors simply because they're afraid of doctors, they're afraid of hospitals, they're afraid of needles, they're afraid of the scalpel.
Right.
You know, they're afraid of the operating room. You know, there's different reasons why some people choose the path they do. But the point is, we don't want anyone to feel as if, well, you know, it has to be a miraculous divine healing for me to get free of this cancer. I'm a testimony myself that God used radiation treatment for the prostate cancer. You know, I would prefer the miracle of healing that way, but it didn't come that way. But I've had other healings that did come miraculously.
Amen.
You know, so, you know, and I can testify of others who've had. So we want people to believe that all things are possible.
That's right.
Basically, that God will remedy the situation.
That's right.
How he chooses to do it may be through a miracle, or it may be through some traditional means. Mm-hmm. So we don't want them just to put all their eggs in one basket, as you might say, is, well, I'm going to believe in a miracle, or because I'm not going to the doctors, I don't like, I don't believe in doctors. Well, you make sure that's what God is speaking to you. You know, because I'm not going to tell someone not to do that.
That's right.
But I'm not going to tell them that, you know, you have to do it this way because, or else, you know, you don't have faith. Because some people have been pressured by others.
That's true.
To do things that God wasn't leading them to do, mm-hmm. and they suffered as a result.
And I want to jump in and just mention that being healed with medicine and traditional means, that is a miracle as well. Because if only God can give man wisdom to produce, to create medications and treatments. So if you are healed by going to the doctor and taking the medicine, because that is what the Holy Spirit is guiding you to do for this season, for this time, have peace about it and thank God for that miracle.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, I'm thinking maybe there's someone listening saying, wow, I didn't know that about Brother Keith, that he had radiation treatment for prostate cancer, and here he is talking about healing miracles, and he didn't get a healing miracle in that sense of the word. But like I said, there was other things that God has done in my life that were a miracle of healing. And say, well, show me, give me some examples. Well, let me give you one about my knee. I had a knee injury. This is a number of years ago, I think around the year 1992, and I injured my knee, and I couldn't hardly walk, let alone run. And I was still in the military, and you got to run, you know, you got to run 2 miles and meet what they call the physical fitness training standards. And I wasn't able to do that. You know, I was on a medical profile. And I happened to be watching the 700 Club. Mm-hmm. And this was at the beginning when I was just beginning to learn about what they call the Word of Knowledge.
Okay.
And I'm listening to the program one afternoon or evening, whenever it was. And Pat Robertson and his co-host was Ben Kinchlow. And he said, there's somebody right now, God is healing you in your knee.
Hallelujah.
Right? And I don't remember the exact words and all that went down, but all I know is I felt this worm skull in my knee, and I felt that my knee was healed. And I said, oh, praise God. You know, I mean, I believed in the Word of Knowledge. Mm-hmm. It didn't take long to you know, somebody says, well, I don't believe in all those gifts of the Spirit. But here's the thing is when you need one, you need a miracle. You know, you're more open to believe, you
Amen.
Know.
That's
and
right.
So, you know, I hadn't really experienced anything like that before, but I was open for it. And I got instantly healed in my knee, and I tested it out the next day. I went and ran 3 miles.
Wow, praise God.
And I didn't have no knee pain.
Praise God.
It was healed, and it's been healed ever since.
Hallelujah.
And so I didn't need that medical profile anymore.
Right.
So that's one of the miracles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we talk about believing for the extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's other areas besides healing. You know, what about financial miracles? We have examples of that in the Bible as well. And one thing I could say this before we get into more scripture is, you know, for you to get really strong faith in God's miracle working power, the best way to do that, you start reading the Bible.
Amen.
And reading the stories of God's miracle working power in various situations all through the Bible, from the Old Testament through the New Testament. And you will be amazed at the things that God had done for people. Miracles. I mean, some of the miracles you'd think weren't even necessary, but he did them anyway. Like we talked about turning the water into wine.
That's right.
Right? This was a wedding feast that Jesus had attended, and his mother was there, and they ran out of the, you know, wine, I guess because there were more people that showed up for the wedding or whatever, or maybe they didn't have enough supply to begin with and was hoping it was just going to last. Well, God wasn't required to perform a miracle for them. They could have said, you know, sorry, guests, we're out of wine. It's just, you know, unfortunate.
Right. It's shameful.
And,
very shameful.
Know, but they wouldn't have been the end of the world.
No, absolutely not. No one was going to die.
Yeah, so
for lack of wine.
It wasn't a lack, you know, it wasn't a life or death situation.
Right.
You know, that they had to have this wine. But God chose to do that.
Amen.
And it was Jesus' first miracle. Amen. But not only that, he went the extra mile. He turned that water into the best wine they ever had.
Wow.
The head waiter who tasted the wine made that proclamation, declaration. This was the best wine he had ever tasted.
Praise God.
Right? And so.
Extraordinary.
It was extraordinary.
Yeah.
He went out of his way.
Yeah.
Now, we can go back to some examples in the Old Testament, too, that I really like is Elijah, you know, coming to the widow woman. And I think that is found in, let's see.
As you're looking for the scripture, one example also came to mind, and it was Naaman when he healed him from leprosy. I love the fact that it says that not only was the leprosy gone, but his skin was like the skin of a child. So he ended up having better skin than what he had even before he had the leprosy. That's how good and wonderful God is. Extraordinary. And you can believe for it as well. You're listening to this, and you can also believe not only that God is going to give you something, but God is going to give you and it's something that's extraordinary. God is so good like that.
Yes, he is. And so in 1 Kings,
okay.
1 Kings chapter 17, it talks about Elijah. Here, I'll start at verse 1. And it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from that brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook." Well, there's a miracle right there.
Amen.
Birds bringing you food instead of them eating it themselves.
Hallelujah.
Right? And he's drinking from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoken by Elijah. Now, wow.
Hallelujah.
A miracle of provision. She was down to her last morsel. And you know, there's so many interesting things about this story that I love. And one of them is the fact that God tested her. He gave her a prophet who said, "Go make me a cake first." Now you might say, "Well, that sounds like a lot of preachers today. Give me your tithe or give me your offering first, and then God will provide and take care of you." But here's the thing. Yes, we know there are many charlatans out there. There are many con artists out there. There are many who are trying to take people's money, their resources from them, and use them. use people, but yet we have from Scripture that God also sends people, the authentic messengers of God, that he sends to people to give them a test. He could have said, okay, just go ahead and go make yourself cakes, you know, make as many as you see come out of there. There will, your flour and your oil will not run dry. Go ahead and we'll prove it. Go ahead and start making a bunch of cakes and see if you can make 20. No, he said, go make me a cake first. That had to be a big step of faith for this lady.
Very, very big.
You're asking me to give you a,
that's right.
You know, I only have enough for me and my son for one more meal, and you're asking for me to make a cake out of that for you first?
But God knew her. And you know what? There was something special about this woman, because there were many widows at that time, and the prophet was sent to her.
The prophet was sent to her, and God had prepared her. Her
That's
heart
right.
was prepared.
That's
now,
right.
I say that to say this to the listeners as well, is, you know, and I know there's going to be a variety of different types of people that will listen to this podcast. Because one is, I know messages like this are very, exciting. You know, expect the extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, on the flip side of it is this. We got to be very careful who we criticize. What ministries we criticize. Well, all they're doing is asking for everybody's money all the time. Well, is that what they're doing? Or is it that God is using them to test the people just like he did with Elijah? You know, when you see somebody saying, give me first, or give me this amount of money. If God has sent them, then you need to obey him. Now, of course, I'm not saying that for my benefit here, because we haven't asked for anything.
Of course not.
As of yet, you know, we're probably down the road, we're going to, you know, work to try to build people's faith in giving, because we believe that giving is going to be a blessing into their life as well as ours. But let's look at the principle here. The principle here is that God used Elijah to speak to this woman first, to go bring him something, and he said, the Lord said, that your oil and your flour will not run out. And you know what? When she obeyed, it became so. Now, let me give you an example in my own life. This was a number of years ago. This is a small example. There's many I could give, but this one small one will be good to start out with here for this particular series and this one podcast here. Is I felt the leading in my heart that I need to send in $20, $25, I think it was, to a ministry on TV that was raising money for their, you know, their annual fundraising for their programming.
Yeah.
And I looked at my bills, and here I was, you know, I had a small one-bedroom apartment and at the time, and I didn't have a whole lot of money, and I had an electric bill, I think it was around $60, and I needed that $25 to help pay for that electric bill. I had enough to pay the bill, but if I sent that $25 into that ministry, then I would have been short on my electric bill. And I'm thinking, I don't know. Is this God speaking to me?
It wasn't God. I rebuke it.
So I wrote the check out, because this is back when I was, you know, in the checkbook days, writing out checks. And I wrote the check out, but then I started having some doubts. So I put it in an envelope and I set it up on top of the TV. And for a few days, I just kept walking back and forth when I go in and out. And I look at it and I'm thinking, was this God speaking to me? Or is this what is this? Is this the devil trying to talk me out of my $25? And I got on my knees and I prayed about it. And I said, Lord, is this you speaking to me? And I felt in my heart, why don't you step out and believe me by faith and watch what I'll do for you? And I'm like, well, okay. I'm trusting if this is you, and if this is not you, you know, I'll learn a lesson here.
Right.
So I went and I put it in the mailbox. And when I put it in the mailbox, I said, Lord, I'm trusting you to multiply this back, because your word says, given it shall be given, you know, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. And also trust that if I'm making a mistake, I just bless the ministry.
Amen.
Praise God, you know. And I put that $25 in the mailbox on a Wednesday night.
You remember that?
Yeah, because I went to church that night.
Okay.
After I put that in, that was afternoon when I put it in there.
Okay.
And I went to church that night, and some guy come walking up, a friend I knew. He came up and gave me one of them holy handshakes.
Mm.
When you feel something in his hand.
Something inside his hand.
Something was inside his hand, and I hadn't talked to him. You know,
wow.
I hadn't, you know, it wasn't like I'm in financial problems. I wasn't. Right. It was just, you know, stretching my faith there.
Right.
And I hadn't said a word to him or anybody else. He handed me a $100 bill.
The same day, a couple of hours later.
Yes. Four times the money
Beautiful.
That I gave up. So
Beautiful.
I got back three times more.
That's right.
By my act of obedience.
Praise God.
And that's just one story of many I can tell on that line. And, of course, I want to end this here because we're getting to the time frame. But, you know, maybe this is an enticement here, too, because there's many more stories I like to tell about these things, the extraordinary provisions that God has made and that God will make for you. If you put God first, if you put him first and his kingdom first, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, mm-hmm. and all these things shall be added unto you. And so what was he talking about in Matthew 6? What all things going to be added? Well, they were talking about not worry about food and clothing and shelter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said these are the things that, you know, that the Gentiles pray for, and they pray using vain repetition. For he said, your Father knows you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things shall be added unto you. So what he's saying is God will provide for you if you are seeking after his interests of
Amen.
What his priorities are. And see, that day his priorities was for me to step out in faith and believe him that if I sent the $25 to that ministry, he would reward me. And not only that, but he gave me back more.
Amen.
He gave me back more than I had. And like I said, I've got many more stories from where that came from. Even greater than that. Much greater.
Awesome.
And so we'll talk about some of those things later because I don't want to make it all about financial.
That's
but
right.
Financial is one of the areas. Mm-hmm. Because in any area where we have need, whether it's health in our body, whether it's a job, whether it's the finances, whether it's a relationship issue, mm-hmm. you know, a wayward child or a spouse that's, you know, the marriage is looking like it's going to fall apart. What all kinds of things. You know, some things we've learned from our mistakes, but also we've also learned from the word of how to believe God and put our priorities right. Because I know this, when I've learned to put my priorities right and seek the kingdom of God and do things his way, things always worked out.
Amen.
Because God is not a man that he should lie. He said that he would bless you. He said that these things will be added unto you if you will trust in him. So I'm going to end it here and turn over my sweetheart to do her thing if she wants to add anything else to this.
Amen. I remember also I was living in New York. I wanted to go to practice with the worship team at the church. And I remember that I did not have the funds, the money to pay for the babysitter. So I was so sad that I would not be able to go and practice that day. And I remember that when I went to the mailbox, I was not expecting this. I have no idea who this check was from. I got a check that same day for the exact amount that I needed to pay the babysitter to go practice, to go worship. So God, and me too, I have many stories like that, many testimonies. And God is so good. And I'm sure that you as the listener, you also have testimonies and you also have experiences that you can acknowledge that it's been God's hand. And that's important. That's really important for us to develop a grateful heart and acknowledge God's hand in your life. Don't think that the things that have come your way, it's just because you're lucky or you're just good like that. God's goodness is around you, is working for you. He is so good. And he did something for us that cannot be compared to any other blessing that we may receive, and it is called salvation. and that was given through Jesus. See, you and I were permanently separated from the Lord, from God, and there was no hope because you and I could not do anything in ourselves to reconcile with God, to get rid of this sin that separated us from God. So do you know what God did? Hallelujah. He himself paid the price. He himself took your sins, my sins, those that trust him, so that now we can be reconciled and we can come boldly to the throne of grace and we can be called children of God. And how does that happen? Well, you have to first of all admit that you are a sinner, because we are born sinners. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he is the only way to salvation. Only in Jesus Christ there is salvation. Hallelujah. And then you have to not only believe it, but you have to confess him as Savior. Say, Jesus, thank you for what you did in the cross. I am a sinner. I need you. Forgive me. I give you my heart. And today, now, I receive your forgiveness and your love. As of today, I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that from that moment on, if you have done that sincerely, you become a child of God. Hallelujah. And your life will never, ever be the same. And now you can trust that you have eternity with God the Father as well.
Amen, sweetheart. That was so good. Yes, so we're going to end this podcast and we'll pick up part 3 the next time. And we want to say God bless and have a good night.
Have a good night.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye.